Welcome to Reflections and Wonders, Paul's Letter to the Ephesians, a podcast that's just me wondering off the top of my head about that letter to the churches in Ephesus. My name's Norm Seeley, and I'm a minister at Jubilee United Church in Toronto, Canada. And I've been a minister for over 30 years, and I wonder about a lot of things. So Monday through Friday, I will be wondering my way through Ephesians, a little bit at a time. I don't have notes, and I'm only using the tools that come immediately to mind. There may be greater historical truth with more study, but it's been my experience that as I wonder, I can begin to hear what God is saying to me right here and right now, about right here and right now, as opposed to a history lesson. I want to learn something about my life and the world that I live in. And so I'm hoping that you might have the same kind of experience as we wander together. Drew Winters provided the music, isn't it great? And I will do my best to keep my wanderings between 18 and 30 minutes. But every once in a while, even if the letter is short, I might go a couple minutes long. You should know that this is an audio version of a video blog that I recorded 2 weeks ago. So, if you want to see what I look like when I'm wondering, you can find me on my YouTube channel. Search Norm Seeley, S-E-L-I. Or, even easier, you can find me on the Jubilee United Church website, www.jubileeunited.ca. And if you want to support this and other digital ministries of Jubilee United Church, well, you can make a donation through CanadaHelps.org. We are Jubilee United Church in Ontario. So, now let's see what Paul has to say to the Ephesians, and more importantly, what God might be saying to us. And today it's Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. In chapter 2, which we read over 2 days last week, Paul says a lot of things that I found quite interesting, but ultimately what he's saying is that the circumcised and the uncircumcised are one in Christ. The Jews and the Gentiles are brought together in Jesus. And I think we're going to keep building on that theme. So let's get into it and see what happens. So here it is. It's Ephesians 3, 1 to 6. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. He continues, and I can maybe keep reading, but I think there's enough right there just to stop and wonder about. So for context, again, I don't want to make this a big deal. I am one of the people who doesn't think that Paul actually wrote this letter. I think that it was written by somebody a little while later, trying to bring the church together, trying to give the Jesus community's focus, and also sort of summarize and focus Paul's theology. So I think it's in keeping with what Paul would say. I just don't think he said it. I don't think he actually wrote this letter. But it is in keeping with Paul, so it's not radically different than Paul. And it's set, so here it is saying, you know, this is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. What's implied here is that Paul is a prisoner at this time, and so a prisoner in Rome, likely. This letter was received. Oh, this is a letter that Paul wrote when he was a prisoner in Rome. This is not the time that he was in prison and earthquakes and chains came off and gates swung open. No, he was essentially under house arrest, but he wasn't allowed out of the house. He was not allowed to move freely. And if you read in Acts, you have the sense that Paul's been arrested Well, because of the constant complaining of a group of people who basically feel that Paul's not being Jewish enough, that he is blaspheming, and they're not happy about that. They have dogged Paul's heels, and they have made trouble for him wherever he goes. Ultimately, Paul has ended up in what I would call a fairly friendly arrest in Rome. So remember, he is a Roman citizen. So Paul's been arrested. It's a house arrest. Now he can't go anywhere. He's stuck, and the legend would say that at night he would be chained to a guard, so he couldn't run away at night, because in day you can see. That was a practice. Whether that's the truth or not, we don't know, but it's a nice image. So when Paul says, "I'm a prisoner for Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles," we can also see him as a prisoner of Christ Jesus. At least that's how it worked in my head, meaning he is bound to Jesus. He's tied to Jesus, not just to his jailer, as it were, or to his guard. But the thing is, he is a prisoner for Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. If he wasn't preaching to the Gentiles, if he wasn't suggesting that the Gentiles and the Jewish followers of Jesus are one, that they are equal, then he wouldn't be in jail. But he is. So that's sort of set up right there. So that puts it in a place and time. And lets the people who hear this letter know that Paul has sacrificed for the faith, for his faith, for the faith of the community. And subtly, there's a little, indication that we too shouldn't shy away from having to suffer for the faith. And I think about that and what that means. And in 2023, what that means for a lot of churchgoers is we give money. That's our sort of suffering. We write a check. We put money in an envelope. We support the church financially. And by the way, I'm not saying don't support the churches financially. We appreciate that support. Thank you very much. And in a sense, it does tie your life into the life of the church. I mean, whatever you do, whether you're retired and you've saved your money, or whether you're currently working and receive paychecks, when you give money to the church, you're taking your life's earnings and you're tying it into the ministry. You're tying it into the work of the church. It's an affirmation for the church, but it also gives the church the resources to grow, to do more, to continue to be dynamic, to meet people where they are. And the more resources a community, a church has, the more people they can meet in more different places. So modestly you can meet, this whole group of people, and they all live nearby, and that's great. But as you grow, now we have the opportunity to connect with other folk who may not sort of fit into that local community. We can reach further and beyond our local geography, or perhaps we're able to connect with the oppressed, who are not readily in our immediate community, but we recognize their need for connection and to be aware of God's love and support. Not just that we can support them, but to be aware of God's love and support. And so the church grows and finds itself with marginalized folk, which can be refugees or people without homes. It can be those who are very aware of food stability. They don't have enough food. They can be people who are suffering from racism, systemic racism, systemic bias. There's all sorts of different ways that a church community can reach out to different people on the margins, different margins. And so when we contribute our money, the money that we've earned with our labor, with our gifts, with what we do, then we do connect part of our life. If I'm working 50 hours a week at my job, I don't have 12 hours to go and with my community reach out and meet people and make that connection, but I can provide the money so that we can create a program that allows that to happen. So I am part of it. Some people think of giving to the church as sort of a, well, it's a fee you pay, right? It's like you buy a ticket to the theater, so I guess I gotta pay for a ticket to see the church service, or it's a subscription fee like Netflix. But the thing is that both of those describe passive ways of engaging, right? The theater, I sit back. I might applaud, which is active, but mostly I paid my money, I sit and I watch the show. Netflix, I paid my subscription fee and I look until I find the thing that I like and then I stay and I watch that. And that is the way a lot of people do experience their community of faith. They pay their money, they go to the show, which happens on Sunday, and if the preacher's funny, they think, "Oh, that's great. It was wonderful." And they go and they tell their friends about the funny preacher and how much they enjoy what that preacher does. Or they subscribe, so they go to some of the things at the church, the things that they like, right? Paul, by referencing himself as a prisoner for Christ Jesus, is talking about something more. Other ways of tying your life in. I think it's important to tie your life into the church, into a church, into a faith community. Church being a good example. But I think it's important to know how it is you're tying your life in, not just how you might be paying that you can be a spectator, a welcome spectator in the church, in the church community or the community of faith. Right? I mean, yes, my church has a number of welcome spectators. But welcome spectators fade away. Not immediately, but eventually, unless there's something really there for them. And most people find there's something there for them when they actually get involved and it costs them their time and sometimes a bit of their anguish, whether they're involved in a meeting that just made them crazy because why don't people listen and they can't hear? Or they went out and they met people who were refugees, who were homeless, and they met people and they connected with them and they felt that heartache going home because they got to go to a home while they left somebody else at a shelter. And that heartache, and then sharing that heartache with God and sharing that heartache with other people in the community, and then committing to do more about that, but in that beginning to hear the gospel, to get that sense of connection. That to me is what Paul's talking about here. I'm a prisoner for Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. Just so you know, that's why I'm here. That's why I'm a prisoner. But more than that, my faith engages me, it inconveniences me, it's sometimes hard, right? I think that that's significant, and I think it's an invitation for us to wonder about how we engage in our faith, and when it's hard, do we just walk away? When it's difficult, do we just say, "I don't want to do that"? When we don't like it, do we say, "Well, then the heck with this, I'm going to find another church where I'm happier"? I mean, everybody should find the place where they connect well. But I think that there's always an invitation to wonder about what it is that's connecting. Are we connecting in such that we can be welcome spectators? Or are we connecting in such a way that we can have an experience of revelation? That's what I'm looking for. It hit me now. So now it sounds like I'm going to start preaching. Like I planned this, I'm going to start preaching it. And I don't want to sound too preachy on it. But Paul talks about revelation, right? He goes on to say, "For surely you've already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation." As I wrote above in a few words. And I think that's what it is. Committing financial support is wonderful. It makes you a welcome spectator, but it doesn't invite you into revelation, right? So when I say revelation, I've talked about before as Paul's experience on the road to Damascus, that being a revelation. But even more basic than that, you don't have to You and I don't have to be on the road to Damascus and get knocked off a donkey and have scales cover our eyes and then fall from our eyes. It can just simply be understanding a mystery. Right? That was the lie. How the mystery was made known to me by revelation. And I don't know about you, but for me, when I hear mystery, I hear murder mystery. I hear secret. A mystery is a secret. It's a dark secret. It's a thing. I'm keeping this. I'm mysterious. I'm not going to let you know who I am. In Greek, mysterion, so the word that we've translated here is mystery. That word is not, it's not Agatha Christie. It is not dark and deep. It's simply not understanding. I mean, I look out at the world and the blue sky is a mystery to me. Why is it blue? It's not a foreboding thing, not something that people are keeping from me. It's just a thing that I don't yet understand. And then someone comes along and talks to me about how light refracts and how the sunlight through the atmosphere and da 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 da, and that's how I have a blue sky, and suddenly, oh, now I get it. Now it makes sense to me. Of course, that's one that I can't explain very well, so it's kind of still a mystery to me. But there are other things that are a mystery, perhaps to you, are no longer a mystery to me. I've experienced them now, and now I get it. It wasn't a secret someone was keeping away from me. It's just an experience I had not yet had. Now, having had it, I understand it. That's the kind of mystery that I think Paul talks about. How the mystery is made known to me by revelation. So by engaging in my faith, here, Paul's a prisoner, by it costing me more than a check, I've engaged in such a way that the mystery has been made known to me. Not solved, it's not a puzzle, but now I see it. A really good faith community, I think, invites us into the mystery of life, and we find ourselves engaging, and suddenly the world looks different because of our engagement. We feel things differently. We have different attitudes. We see things differently. It's funny to talk about still sort of coming out of lockdown and coming out of COVID, but it still feels like that. And even now in this fall season, I'm seeing people who are coming back to my church community for the first time since March 2020. They're happy with online and they're still a little wary about this. And so they're coming back for maybe it's an afternoon tea, or they might come for a special Sunday service, but they're not, but they start to come back, and they come back and then they're there 1 week, and then they come back again another week. And I kid you not when I tell you that I've heard this multiple times. I'd forgotten how much I like this. Like I was doing fine with that and this and then, but I'd forgotten how much I like this until I came back. Oh my God, I love this. And it's funny. Then illness or something can happen, and they'll stay away for a while, and then they forget how much they love it again until they come back. That's that mystery revelation thing to me. There's this thing that happens within a faith community. It can happen with two people. It can happen on your own too. And I think it can happen often when we gather for worship or for doing anything together as a church community. It might be connecting with folks. There's all sorts of things. But when we do them together, we go like, oh my God, I get why we're doing this together. It feels good. It feels fulfilling. It feels hopeful. It feels all those things. I was sitting at home and I was just beginning to lose hope in everything. I'm just watching the news all the time and then on YouTube. I give up hope. And then I'm here and we're having tea together and we're talking. And suddenly I realize I've got a neighbor two blocks away. And now I'm going over there to bring some beets that I had. And all my, I get why I'm hopeful again. It's things are starting to make sense, and I'm feeling better. I'm emerging. That to me is this mystery that's made known by revelation. It's the doing of things where we begin to not just see but feel holy presence, feel God's presence, but also feel the holy presence of other people. you and I together, I can feel holy presence, the holy in you. You might feel the holy in me, and in that we realize that God is present, but it's, you know, it's that holiness, and it's hard to do that when you're distant. And now you can be distant because you are isolated in a lockdown. You can be distant because you stand on the outside looking in, don't want to quite get in. You can be distant when you become what I call a welcome participant, which is to say you support fully what the church is doing. You think it's awesome. And by the way, if you're one of those people, thank you for that. Thank you for being you. But there's also an opportunity to step in a little further and have that mystery become known, to get that sense of satisfaction, that sense of connection. Yeah. You know what? I think I'm going to leave it there. It's not where I was going with this. I was going to go back into Gentiles and fellow heirs and stuff. But you know what? Maybe tomorrow I'll come back on that as we read the next part of the chapter. But I'm just going to leave it with that right now, because that's... Yeah, I didn't think I was going there. But it was all that just, I'm a prisoner for Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. Right, Paul's a prisoner. Huh, faith requires, it's not just sacrifice, involvement, physical commitment, maybe. Anyway, let me offer a prayer and leave it with you and see what you think of it. So let us pray. Loving God, thank you for Paul's letters, for Paul's words, for Paul's faith. And thank you, God, for our own faith and the way that it connects with Paul, or the way that our faith can be challenged by Paul, or the way that we begin to hear your word emerge when we consider what Paul says, when we consider how we live. God, let us always be attuned to your voice, so that as it emerges, we may be drawn closer to you, that we may grow, in faith. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, that's enough for me today, but until I get to see you tomorrow, God bless you. Please know that God sees you and loves you exactly as you are. That God does invite you to be involved, because God's love flows through you into the world in amazing ways. It really, truly does, and you can let that happen and know that you're changing the world. You also can follow that a little bit and allow the world to change you, and not in a bad way. Yeah. Whatever you choose, just know that you are blessed by God. God bless you, and I will see you tomorrow.